KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. The legislature's Community and Regional Affairs Committee convened yesterday to discuss House Bill 199, a proposal to allow arming village public safety officers in rural Alaska. Representative Bryce Edgman of Dillingham was the bill's chief sponsor. He told the committee that the measure would establish protocols and funding for bringing qualified VPSOs through firearms training. In addition to high rates of turnover, issues with pay, housing, and facilities, Representative Edgman enumerated on the safety concerns voiced by VPSOs.
You know, the whole crux about the bill is making sure that VPSOs can do their jobs right. A VPSO walks into a situation that sometimes is lethal, and he or she is armed with a baton, with a taser, they've got handcuffs on them, and they're wearing a protective vest. And unfortunately, I'm here to tell you, as somebody born and raised in rural Alaska, the social issues, the numbers of domestic violence calls, the episodes of violent confrontations have been on the increase.
The funding structure laid out in the current draft of the bill would bring 20 qualified candidates annually through a training program at the Police Academy in Sitka. At $62,000 a year, the funding would cover travel, liabilities, lodging, and firearm equipment for the VPSOs who complete the program. Ultimately, the regional entities in a given area would decide whether they want their VPSOs to carry firearms. For the majority of the two-hour session, calls from across the state, exclusively from current or former law enforcement officials, poured in. What emerged was a patchwork of perspectives on the issues policing rural Alaska. The litany of testimony offered circled around the issue of state law enforcement relying more and more on VPSOs to help with rural policing, but weariness over current and future regulations and standards within the program. At its most generous, the criticism focused on specific points in implementation. And at the other end, Jake Metcalf, executive director for the union representing public safety officials, says the expanding reliance on VPSOs is an inadequate way of compensating for a more costly trooper presence.
They're not certified police officers, so I think rural Alaska is getting a different type of law enforcement than the municipalities and a lot of regions of the state that have significant trooper resources.
What was not questioned is that violence against law enforcement officials has been steadily increasing. The very impetus for House Bill 199 reigniting the decades-old debate on whether or not to arm VPSOs was the death of a Manicotic officer last March. Former Department of Public Safety Commissioner Joe Masters says that the hazards have led some VPSOs to break the law by arming themselves in order to do their jobs.
With these escalations in the use of force against them, which they certainly know about, their job is becoming more and more dangerous, to the point where there are VPSOs that are carrying firearms today against the regulations that are in place and against policies that are in place that prohibit them.
Criticism and recommendations for House Bill 199 were in abundant supply during the session, but the vast majority of those who spoke were ultimately in support of it. Representative Neil Foster's remarks on the discussion summed up the prevailing sentiment.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to reiterate and maybe support some of the comments that were said earlier, and that is, until we can get more resources out to rural Alaska so that we can give the same level of protection to folks out in rural Alaska as we do in other parts of the community, then I think this bill is a step in the right direction, and it's doing something that we can do now with a minimal amount of resources. So thank you.
Committee co-chair Gabrielle Ledoux did not bring the bill to a vote. Instead, she ended yesterday's session asking legislators to consider all they'd heard and saying that in her own experience, guns are an integral component to life in bush Alaska. While the recent high temperatures had some kids ice skating on the roads, some Alaskans wearing summer shorts while running errands, and the Yukon Quest officials rerouting the trail to Whitehorse, some are wondering what the record-setting temperatures are doing to hibernating bears. According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, in the northern parts of Alaska, bears hibernate about 7 months of the year. Bears in the warmer regions of the state hibernate for 2 to 5 months. Fish and game biologist Tony Gorn says it's unlikely the warm January has brown bears permanently leaving their dens.
When we think about why bears hibernate, the pregnant sows go in early and they have their cubs in January and February, which is the time period we're in right now. So they've got other things on their mind.
But Gorn says typically the big boars come out earlier in the spring.
I'm not saying it's impossible that a boar might not stick his head out if he's laying in his den and he's getting saturated with water. He might wonder what's going on.
Gorn says most bears are denning in the mountains in the Seward Peninsula and the hills further in the interior.
Up in the mountains where it's been cooler, we still got more snowpack up in the hills. So I would anticipate bears still hibernating and taking their winter break like they do every year at this point. Although I will admit I am very curious to go fly and see if a guy could at least find one.
Gorn says even when boars emerge from their dens in late March and early April, they stick very close to their dens for the first several days before heading downhill. And Nome's Board of Education held a work session last night. After an hour-long executive session review of the superintendent, Board President Betsy Brennan read aloud the group's conclusion.
The board has completed the superintendent evaluation process, and the board finds that Mr. Gast effectively carried out the responsibilities of the superintendent. Steve will continue in his current contract.
Earlier in the meeting, the board made preliminary plans for designing the school district's 2015 budget. The budget is built around the base student allocation rate set by the state. That's the amount of money each student brings into the district with them. The number is set by the legislature in Juneau during its current session. Nome Public Schools sets its budget anticipating the BSA to stay flat and by using low-end enrollment estimates. That way, the district is not relying on BSA dollars that don't arrive in case the unexpected fluctuations in state funding or overall enrollment. Superintendent Gast and members of the board are also getting ready to review materials from applicants for the two open principal positions at Nome Public Schools. Gast told board members Barbara Amarok and Barb Nichols to expect looking through anywhere from 25 to 40 applications by the end of this week. And a look at the price of gold today. Up $6.50 an ounce to $1,263.20. An ounce of silver up 2 cents to $19.69. It's unofficially 32 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.